I want to thank the Lord for the opportunity to be able to be here with you folks here this week. I've really looked forward to it. Now, I tell you, I've really had myself a time. I feel I've made some new friends since I've been around here, and so I want to thank God for you. I want to thank God for our friends that come all the way from Massachusetts tonight. We got a lot of folk here from there, and I want to thank God for you. Pastor Bellinger, I know you can't get up, Bellinger, but I got something for you. I got some Georgia boiled peanuts for you. He's from Georgia. Them Georgia fellas like them Georgia boiled peanuts. I mean, I just give them to you now in case I forget those things. But like I said, I want to thank each one of you being at the house of God tonight. I'm so scared to start naming people because I'm liable to miss somebody. Brother Chris, Brother Joe, thank you so much. And each one, Brother Mark, Sister Dawn, and bringing your daughter. And each one of y'all coming to the house of God tonight, I want to thank you so much for that. And here in a few minutes, I want to read a verse of Scripture. Like I said, this is not our preaching tonight, but this, I guess, I know this was Paul's swan song, and I guess it'd be mine here tonight, leaving here being the last night. You see, once you've been with some people and you come into their life for a little bit, and you got to weep with them, cry with them, preach to them, love each other, fall in love with each other. It's a hard time. I mean, it's something that you're leaving family. You're leaving family because we're saved by the blood of Christ. And we become family, and it's hard to separate. But that's my life. From one church to the next church, one state to the next state, one town to the next town. And you can't help but get involved in people's life that you love them. And a lot of times people that you have everlasting friendship with them. You know what I mean? You just strike. There's a cord. There's something. There's a bond between each other, and you thank God for it. But, you know, I preach revivals all the time. And a lot of these preachers, you know, they're such compromisers that when you go to their church to be able to preach a meeting, what they do is they take you during the week to visit their members to find out what their members thought about how the revival was going. No matter what the Holy Spirit says, what the members say. That's why they look at it. So here a while back, I was down in the state of Georgia, and this preacher called me to Botel and said, "Hey, Brother John, we'll go visit some of my members today." Well, what he's really doing, he's taking the temperature if the church members like it or not. Amen? And so we went to this people's house. It was a lady and her son. Her son was about 14 years old. And so he said, "Hey, young lady," he's talking to the lady of the house. He said, "I need to ask you something. Have you liked the revival this week?" She said, "I'm telling you." She said, "I have enjoyed it so much every night, Pastor." She said, "I am just so full." She said, "I tell you, I'm just about to explode." She said, "I feel so full." She said, "I tell you, it's the best meeting I ever been in my life." Well, that's that preacher like that. I mean, he loved that. And she said, "I'm just so full. I feel like I'm fixing to explode. I feel like I want to run out the front door." And he asked the boy, said, "How do you feel about it?" He said, "I'm about like Mama. I about got a belly full of myself." And I got a feeling here at Independent Baptist Church, some people this week's got a belly full. Is that right? I want to give you something before we preach here tonight. In Acts chapter 20, verse 25, here's what the Apostle Paul says. In fact, let's stand for this. And I know you stand if you're preaching and all this stuff, but let me give you something if you would, please. Acts chapter 20 and in verse 25. Paul had been at the church of Ephesus for 3 years. He's fixing to leave here. And he says, "And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I've gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more." He said, "Whether I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men." You got him? Okay. "From the blood of all men." That's exactly what I'm trying to do. When I walk out that door here in just a few minutes, get my motor home, I can say before God that I'm free from the blood of all men. Here's what he said. He said, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." He said, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God which he's purchased with his own blood." He said, "For I know this, after my departing, shall grievous wolves slip in among you." Bunch of stinking cowards had to wait till Paul left. Ain't that right? He said, I know after I'm gone. He said, I know what's going to happen. He said, there's going to be a bunch of grievous wolves going to slip in among you, not sparing the flock. He said, also of your own self shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone day and night with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. This, and I feel the same way Paul here. I coveted no man's silver, no man's gold, nor apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that by these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. That's talking about Larry. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to labor with the words and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it is more blessed to give than to receive. Aren't you be seated, please. I want to talk to you for a minute while you turn into the 107th Psalm, if you would, for our preaching text here tonight. This is what I've done here. I've come here and I've been here for six nights. Six nights here laboring among you folks. There had to be, when I've come to this church here, I tell you, I've never seen so much corruption. I've never seen so much compromise. I've never seen so much junk in my life to call itself a Baptist church. You say, I don't like it. I don't give a rip what you like. You preach what you want. I'm preaching right now. Listen to this real close, what I'm trying to tell you. There were some things that had to be dealt with here. There were some things that had to be dealt with here to vote some folks out. We still believe if you don't walk right, talk right, spit white, bless God, you need to hit the road. Amen. Amen. Nod your little head. Is that right? Now, Paul said, he said, as soon as I know I'm gone, them wolves are going to try to come back. And watch this real close. Now, the other night, you had a unanimous vote to put some folk out of here. Is that right? Nod your head. Amen. Say amen, me. Bless God. If you don't, we'll take up offering again. Amen. I'm trying to tell you the truth. Did we have a vote here? We had a unanimous vote to vote them out. Is that right? And so, in other words, the church spoke and said, we put you out. Is that right? Now, this is going on video and everything like this, so you ain't got to defend. You act like you're scared to death. But I want to show you something. So the other night, some people, they was give their walking papers to get out of here. Is that right? Now, watch what I'm trying to tell you. You said that God led you to do this. You said that's exactly what you wanted. We had a business meeting and was voted to do it. Is that right? Amen. Now, I want to tell you something, and I want you to listen to me. Well, that's what I'm fixing to tell you. Your pastor here, this is your pastor, Richard Clegg. Is that right? Amen. Now, watch this real close. These people are gone. We dealt with them. Not we, y'all. The church spoke. The church told the pastor that's what they wanted to do. And so far, the pastor's not had one person to call him and say, oh, I wish we wouldn't have done that. We're sorry that we done that. Is that right? Now, if your pastor, and I love him, I've been staying at his house, been eating his groceries. If he goes out and tries to bring him back, I hope next week you vote him out.
Amen.
I hope, bless God, you put him on the road and vote him out, because the church said, we don't want no more of this. Is that right?
Amen.
Nod your little pointed head. Is that right? Is that right? Isn't that right, brother? You deserve to go if you're going to compromise and go over the will of the people. Is that right? Unless it's scriptural. Is that right? Well, let's get off of that. Let's turn to the 107th Psalm. The 107th Psalm. Let Brother Johnny show you something. The 107th Psalm, and then we'll turn to Acts chapter 27, please. The 107th Psalm. Look at what it says here, please, if you would. I want you to notice something in the 107th Psalm and verse 21. I want you to notice what David said in the first in verse 21, Psalms 107. He said, Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works unto the children of men. Do you see that? Do you know what that is on the end of that word men? Huh? It's an exclamation mark. Do you see that? It is an exclamation mark. And that exclamation mark means something to be excited about. When you write a letter or something like this, you put an exclamation mark. It's something that you're excited about. Now watch this real close. David said, oh, that men would praise the Lord for all of his goodness, for all his goodness unto the men. And then he signs it with an exclamation mark. I'm excited about it. Now watch this real close what he does. In verse 22, he said, let them sacrifice with the sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to ships, they that go down to the sea in ships, do business in great waters. These see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth up the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, and they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of what?
Trouble.
They got trouble. David, at the beginning of the storm, he's saying, I'm excited about it. I'm really excited about it. Now, all of a sudden, you see, he said, them that go out to the deep, not just launch around on the bank, but you get out deep in the water. He said, them shall see the great works of God. Look at what it says here. And it says, and in verse 26, and he said, well, let's read from 25 again. He said, for he commandeth and raiseth up the storm, the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. Their soul melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man. They are at wit's end. Do you ever feel that way? Do you ever feel sometime that you're in the biggest storm of your life and that you are just about at wit's end? You don't know how you're going to come out, how you're going to make it. Have you ever told somebody, I'm about ready to listen to blow my brains out. I'm so discouraged. I'm just about at wit's end. Look here what happened. Boy, I tell you what, make a backslid whiskey didn't want to shout. He said, I'm just about at wit's end. He said, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble and he bringeth them out of their distress. He makes at the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. It said, then they are glad because they be quiet. It said, so he bringeth them to their desired heaven. Here he is again, what he said the first time. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. There's the exclamation mark again. David said, bless God, before I ever got in a storm, I was excited about serving the Lord. He said, I done went through storms so bad till I felt like I was at wit's end. And you see that exclamation mark? He is still excited about serving God. Most folks I know, every little storm come their way, they fall out of church. They act like God has gone a million miles and forgot them. Is that right? But I want to tell you something. I want you to watch this real close. There's only one person in this world. You can go to Bob Jones University, Tennessee Temple, Pensacola Bible School, Fairhaven, I don't care where you go to. But only God Almighty can give a storm degree. Do you hear what I'm saying? Nobody else can give a storm degree but God Almighty himself. And buddy, he'll put you through some storms. Is that right? You see, heroes are made in storms. Is that right? Heroes, we really find. Now, you might not ever be a hero to be able to save a man from a burning building. But I tell you, in the eyes of God, you can be a hero by saving somebody from a burning lake of fire. Is that right? You can be that hero in the eyes of God. Is that right? Now, God sends storms your way. God wants to make something out of a hero out of you. Is that right? Huh? That last voyage of the Titanic there that night, that, listen, just a few minutes before that thing went down, they had a band playing, the whiskey was a-flowing. I'm telling you everything, I mean, there was a partying and carrying on like that. But I tell you, when that ship struck that iceberg there that night, and that thing raised up on the end, they changed the band to singing, My God, Near to Thee. Is that right? Yeah. I want you to watch this real close. There was a Baptist preacher scheduled to go to Moody Church to be able to preach. The men were so scared, they said, we're going to put the women and the children in the lifeboats. Men went into the cabins there. They put on dress like women. Some of them put pillows up under the dress to look like they was pregnant. They was scared to death. But there was a man that gives some more men his life preserver. He got off the side floating out there in the icy water. was there that day, and his name was John Harper, on the way to be able to preach, he would paddle up to people on a little old piece of raft, and he'd say, "Sir, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ and the free pardon of sin?" You know what he was doing? Bless God, he was being a hero. Is that right? He won man after man to the Lord. And the last time they said they saw John Harper, the waves was pushing him away on a piece of board that he was on. And he kept saying, "Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you been saved?" Ah, glory to God. By the grace of God. Is that right? And the Lord can do the same thing for you. Acts chapter 27, please. That was not our preaching tonight. I just want to give you a little something. Acts chapter 27, please. Now, you remember Sunday morning when I got started here, I told you that Paul was in a storm in Acts 27. You remember that? Yep. During Sunday school, Paul was in a storm. A lot of the liberals, a lot of the liberal theologians say that that ship was 500 miles off course. It was not off course. It was right on course. You see, there was an island out there named Melita that had lost barbarians on there, and God had sold her. You see, Paul, Paul, he was booked up on the island of Melita. Do you remember what I told you in Acts 28:1, what the name Melita meant Sunday morning? Do you remember that? Look at Acts 28:1. And the Bible said that when they were escaped, they knew that the island which is called Melita. If you want to write this down or check in your Strong's Concordance or whatever you want to, that word Melita means a bucket of honey. And a lot of times you'll be in the biggest storm of your life and you're wondering how you're going to come out, and God's trying to tell you, "I'm telling you the truth. If you let me work it out the way I want to, you'll wind up into nothing but sweetness and a bucket of honey."
Amen.
Is that right? But we try to handle it ourselves. Is that right? Now look at Acts 27, please. Acts 27. Now you see where that ship's heading. If you got your pencil and paper, I wish you'd write this down. The word radar, R-A-D-A-R. All ships have radar on it. Is that right? R-A-D-A-R. Radar, spelt the same way forward as it is backwards. That means God can see you coming or going. Amen? Is that right? And God give us a compass here. Is that right? He is the captain of the ship. Is that right? Now, tonight I want to show you for a few minutes how we preached on this week lawnmowers and birds and the elephants and all the different things of the Bible and the eagles of the Bible this night. But tonight I'd like to show you how this ship is a type of the church of the living God. How that it's a type of the ship. Let me tell you something. In this storm here, there's nothing wrong with the ship. There's nothing wrong with the captain. The captain is the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that right? Is that right?
Amen.
There's nothing wrong with the sea, but there's something wrong with the sailors. And that's you and me. Once you get saved by the grace of God, you get on the old ship of Zion. Is that right? Back in the mountains, we sang a song, the old gospel ship. Is that right? You remember that song they sang about the lighthouse? Is that, you remember those things like that? So I want to show you here for a little while how that the ship is a type, how the ship is a type of the church. If you back up with me, please. Oh, let's see. Let's read about verse 6. How that I can show you it's a type of the church. If you're writing on your paper, please write this down. We got a ship that won't sink. That's the church. We got a captain that won't sneak out. And we got a compass that won't steer you wrong.
Amen.
Bless God. You ought to have a Baptist fit and kick the back door off this way. Amen. Look here. So in Acts chapter 27, verse 6, how I know that it's the type of the church, what I see happening nowadays. You see where it says they sail from? And there was the centurion found the ship Alexander sailing unto Italy. Is that right? Bless God. I don't care what a lot of our folks say. The church nowadays, I see it heading more towards Rome every day. Is that right? Preachers is going out and welcome the Pope here to the United States. Is that right? And we got so much Catholic junk in our churches nowadays until it's an abomination before God. Is that right? Bless God, I wouldn't want to follow no stinking man. Watch this real close. He wears a half a grapefruit on his head, wears a skirt like mama, and wants you to call him Papa. Is that right? Is that right? Nod your little pointed head. Bless God. You know that's the truth. Is that right? Now watch this. The church nowadays, the way we're headed, we are headed towards Rome. Is that right? A lot of churches I go to, they burn the candles. Here come Easter in a few days, and they'll be having all their Easter egg hunts and all these abominations. Is that right? Yeah. Well, let me get off of that, boy. You'll drive home me in a minute here. Let me show you something. And it said they found him, and he was sailing unto Italy. Now, Paul, they had put him on this ship. They had put him on the ship. There he was shackled inside of the ship. And look at what happened. And the Bible said, let's skip on over here to verse 31. Paul said this, the ship is getting in a big storm. The ship is getting in a big storm. And Paul said this, Paul said unto the centurion and to the soldiers in verse 31, except you abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Today the church is the ship. The ship is a type of the church. Watch this real close. He is not talking about your salvation, but he's talking about your life. After you're saved by the grace of God and on the ship of Zion, you can never lose your salvation. Is that right? If you look at verse 44, they all made it safe on the other side. And we will too if you're saved by the grace of God and Jesus Christ is your captain. Is that right? Watch this real close. Let me show you a few more things. I want you to see in verse 37, there was 276 men in verse 37 aboard that ship. And then if you'll look close in verse 26, they didn't have the sun, moon, and stars for 14 days. 14 days. Back then, they used to sail by the sun, by the moon, and by the stars. Paul said, we ain't seen the moon and stars in 14 days, and we got 276 men aboard this ship. Is that right? Now, here was the trouble. There wasn't nothing wrong with the ship. There wasn't nothing wrong with the captain, but we had trouble with the crew. I want to give it to you first real fast. Look at verses 10 and 11. Here's what they had aboard that ship. First thing aboard that ship in verses 10 and 11. And he said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be hurt and much damage, not only to the lading of the ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. They said, bless God, we're going to believe this owner of this ship. We're going to believe him a whole lot more than we do believe the preacher of the man of God. The very first thing I found about this ship here, watch this close. They had strife aboard the ship. Can I tell you something to the church of the living God today? I've never seen so much strife in the church in my natural born life. There's arguing and fighting and going on. A stinking compromising preacher here a while back in North Carolina, he had two families, was at odds with each other. He wanted to be a compromiser. One was the brown family and one was the black family. He was such a compromiser that one day he come to church, he had on one brown shoe and one black shoe. Amen. Amen. Is that right? Now I want to show you a few things. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 6. I'll show you some of the strife that we got going on in the church nowadays. Watch this real close. Some of the strife that we got going on in the church of the living God. There was nothing wrong with the ship. That's the type of the church. There was nothing wrong with the captain. That's the type of Christ. The sea is the world. The sea is the world. The problem was in the ship was the sailors. It's the people inside the church. Is that right? Watch this real close. There was strife. Let me show you what strife is. Proverbs chapter 26 and in verse 17. He said, He that passeth by and meddle with strife, belonging not to him, is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. Do you see that? That's plural. You see that word ears? That's more than one. Do you know what he's talking? You know what Solomon is saying to you? Anybody that messes with strife, it's like taking a dog by ears. Watch this real close. Ears is plural. Every argument that comes in the church, there's two sides to it. Is that right? He said picking up a dog by the ears. Two sides to everything. Is that right? Anytime you mess with strife, he said it's like messing with a dog. He's got two ears. And listen, you come to my house now, I got an old beetle dog. And every time I pick him by them ears up, there's some stretching going on. Is that right? Anytime you mess with strife, there is going to be some stretching going on. Is that right? Well, I don't think y'all even have dogs up here. Is that right? Not only that, I'll pick up my old beagle dog sometime by his ears. Not only is there two of them, not only is there some stretching, but he's got a big, he's wide like this. And when I pick him up, it's a real good chance I can let him slip. Is that right? And if you meddle with the strife that's going on here this week, you could very well let something slip. Is that right? Is that true? Not only that, watch this close. You ain't never messed with a stinking dog in your life that you don't get the smell on you.
That's right.
Is that right?
That's right.
Is that the truth?
Right. Amen.
Is that true, Pastor? You get the smell on you every time you pick up a stinking dog. Amen. Is that right? That's why I told you tonight, I believe women love their dogs more than do their husbands. Is that right? Is that right? Bless God, you let that stinking outfit lick you in the face, you wouldn't let your husband do that. Is that right? Huh? Me and J. Harold Smith was one time in a meeting. We was in a meeting one time over in Newport, Tennessee. And we got ready to sit down to eat dinner there. And we got ready to sit down and eat dinner. And this lady pulled a bar stool up there. And she said, "Come here, Fifi." Sorriest low down looking poodle about that high. He jumped up on that table. She said, "We gonna have Fifi pray for us." And that little old dog put the... I wanted to choke that stinking devil to death. Is that right? That's why Jews don't own dogs. They know they're stinking but a bunch of scavengers. That's why they look at Gentiles as dogs. Is that right? Nod your little head. Is that right? So I hope we get some, not only the smell to get off of you, not only to be some stretching going on, is that right? There'll be some stretching going on, but anytime you holding him by his ears like that, you stand a good chance of getting bit.
Right.
Is that right?
That's right?
You see, you gotta pay careful attention what you hear. Is that right? Watch this. This woman one day, she's a nosy, she's one of the nosiest neighbors in the neighborhood. Is that right?
Right?
And I bet you every stinking church represented here has got some of that kind in your church. They got the long lady coming to me one night. She said, "Brother Johnny, I'm so sorry that I've been talking so much about you tonight." She said, "I feel like I could put my tongue on the altar." I said, "Ma'am, it ain't but about 12 foot long, but that'll start." Is that right? Lady went up to a preacher friend of mine and said, "I didn't like that message you had." And she reached in her purse and pulled out a pair of scissors. And she reached and cut his tie off like that. He took them scissors away from here and said, "I don't like what you said. Stick out your tongue."
Amen.
Is that right?
This woman
one day, she was on the front porch. And she heard next door. Here's what she heard. "You get out of here, you old dog. I'll take that broom and knock you in the head." She gets on that telephone. She's calling everybody in town. Can I tell you something? If anybody gets on the telephone and talks about your pastor and you listen to it, you are so low down, sorry,
right,
outfit.
Right.
Your ear shouldn't be no public garbage can. If you're going to sit there and listen to that junk, you ought to move out and go somewhere else.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Nod your head, Sister Pastor. Is that right? Is that right? Is that right, brother? Amen. Now watch this real close. So she got on the phone, she called everybody. She said, "Boy, you should have heard when I next door. That woman hollered, that lady next door, she hollered, said, 'You old dog, I ought to take this broom and knock you in the head.'" So she spread it all out. But you know what had happened? Her little girl had got home that afternoon, and a little girl said, "Mama, I'm in a play at school." And she said, "Well, what are you going to do?" She said, "I'm going to play like a woman in a house, and I got a broom and the old dog come in." And she said, "Well, show me how you're going to do it." She's going to say, "Old dog, get out of this house. I'm going to hit you in the head." She said, "No, you don't do it that way." She said, "Put some excitement in it. You old dog, if you don't get out of here, I'm going to knock you in the head." And that's what that woman had said, heard, and spread all over town. Is that right? Huh? So the first thing, let's get out of there real quick. You're drying up on me. All right, look here. So the first thing is there's strife in the church. We've seen that verses 10 and 11. Not only that, what it says in verse 20. Not only they had strife, but in verse 20, they had storms. Look at what it said. And when neither the sun nor the stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, that all hope should be taken, that we should be saved, all hope was taken away. If you're a child of God, I don't care what Benny Hinn, Oreo Cookie Roberts, or none of them say, I want you to know, because you get saved by the grace of God does not mean that you still don't have storms and trials and tribulations come in your life. Just because you're saved does not mean that you don't get prostate cancer, lung disease, and stuff like that. Is that right? You're going to be in some storms sometime that you'll wonder, how am I ever going to come out of this? Is that right? I heard this some time back. Said it was a lady. I preach in the Bahamas a lot. I go on the big old ships that go over the Bahamas over there. And one day, one of the men on the ship was telling me, they said, you know what happened on our last cruise over there? I said, no. He said, boy, we got into a big storm about halfway over to the Bahamas over there. And he said, the captain told me to go out and tell everybody that's sitting on the deck, that's laying on the deck out there, to come inside, batten down the hatches. Don't stay on the deck of the ship. The storm's coming, and it'll push you over the side. You come on in. He said, I went out there telling everybody, come on in. Captain said to come in. We're heading into a storm. And this elderly lady was sitting out there about 80 years old, sitting on one of them chaise chairs, had a little blanket wrapped over her. And he said, lady, I done told you one time, the captain said to come inside. She said, sonny boy, what are you so upset about? I ought to be the one that's upset. He said, the captain said for you to get inside. She said, sonny boy, let me tell you something. She said, I got one daughter that lives in Atlanta, and I got one daughter that lives in heaven, and it don't matter to me which one I go spend the night with. Is that right? Is that right? Bless God, that ought to be the way when you get in a storm. Is that right? Can you come out still in a storm? Huh? All right, let's get over that now. Let me give you another. Not only did they have strife problems, not only did they have storm problems, not only that, but they had storage problems. Look at verse 18. Verse 18, look what he said. In verse 18, and being exceedingly tossed, we tempted the next day, we lightened the ship. That means the ship was heavy, running deep in the water. And they begin to throw some things over the side of the ship. Can I tell you something? In the last 35 years I've been saved, I've been seeing us trying to lighten the ship. We've thrown out old time praise of the Lord. Is that right? Bless God, so many of our preachers don't even preach the King James Bible no more. We throw separation over the side. Is that right? Bless God, when I was a boy, I tell you, I couldn't even imagine a woman wearing a pair of pants to church, wearing a pair of shorts. And when I was a boy, horses wore halters, not women. Have you got the pistol? I believe the last night we're going to have to fight our way out of here tonight. Is that right? We had thrown some of the most precious doctrine over the side. We've tried to lighten the ship. They said old time religion is old slaughterhouse religion. Don't preach that blood. That nut you got passing 30 miles from here said there ain't no such thing as repentance. People in this church are not sinners. I say, bless God. Listen, when you're frying hell like a piece of sausage. Is that right? We've tried to lighten the ship. Is that right? Isn't that true, Pastor Belanger? We see it all over the country. All over the country. Just compromise. Let me get over that for a while now. Watch it. You know what we've done? You know some things that we've tried to take on ship? Television. You know, a lot of folks has got them things piped into your house. The money that you pay for cable, $47-$48 a month. Do you know that'll help support a missionary? Do you know what that'll do? That'll help put some tires on your pastor's car, buy some things that need to be done. And I tell you, I'm so sick and tired of folk. Oh, bless God, they spend more money on dog food and flea collars and stuff like that. Missionaries can't get to the field. The churches need things. Is that right? No, we got to spend it on anything we want to. Is that right? Well, you got us loaded, ain't you, brother? Huh? Is that right? Now let me show you something else too. They was in a state of confusion. Look at Acts. Look at verse 20. Look at verse 20, if you would, please. Same thing, same verse we read a minute ago. And it said, neither sun nor days we appeared. But look what he did, how he got out of it in verse 15. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up the wind, we let her drive. That's letting the Holy Ghost flush you along and move you along. Churches nowadays try to run in the power of the flesh, and it won't get you nowhere. Paul said, bless God, when he got to the place that we didn't know what to do, we just let her drive. Is that right? Stop making up your mind what you're going to do. Let the Holy Ghost force you along. Is that right?
Amen.
Ain't that true, my brother? Oh, I think I'd have got me a kick back here. Not only verse 22, please, verse 22 and verse 23. Now they had a state of confusion, but he had a standing. He had a standing. Look at what he said in verse 22. And he said, now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be the loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I'm served. That's nobody else but Jesus Christ Himself.
Yes.
How long has it been since the Lord has come to you and let you know, even though you're in the greatest storm you've ever been through, that He is going to see you through it? Is that right? I used to be with an old preacher. A lot of folks don't even know him, probably in this part of the country, but his name was Lester Roloff. And he'd stand up and he'd sing, when the storms of life are raging, stand by me. Is that right? Boy, and that's the way it used to be. Is that right? Folks depended on God.
Amen.
Well, let me give you something else. We'll fix it out here in just a minute. Not only that, but boy, I like this in here. If this don't bless you, your blesser's dead. Look at verse what happened. Not only that, watch what it says in verse 27. But when the 14th night was come, and they were driven up and down Adria about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they were nearing some country. This is the only time that this word is mentioned in the New Testament. Only time, if you want to put a circle around it and you want to check it out, you know what that word says? It said that them shipmen, they deemed that they was nearing another country. That word deemed means suspicion. He said, I want you to know I got a suspicion that we're nearing a new country. I want you to look you in your God-given eyeballs to tell you tonight, we've been going through some storms and we've had trouble, but I got a suspicion, amen, it ain't long, we're going yonder shore. Is that right? We're going over there with Him. Is that right? Huh? He said, look at what they did. Look at what they did. Boy, I like that. What they used to do to check their depth, they didn't have all them common stuff. They used to let a rope down and to check the depth of the sea. And here's what it did. So we said, boy, I like this. And it says, and verse 28, and we sounded and found that it was 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little bit further, they sounded again. That 20 fathoms is 120 foot. They sounded again. When it was 15 fathoms, that's 90 foot. Do you know what they begin to do? They begin to sing, we're nearing the shore. Bless God, I want you to know that I don't know how that this place can keep on going like it's going nowadays. Do you? The church is in such compromise and liberalism. I've never seen the day in my natural born life. My Lord, I feel like I'm preaching Jehovah's Witness tonight. Now watch this real close. I like this real close. We'll get out of here with this here. Look at what he said. At verse 20, I liked his ball. Verse 44, I'm sorry. And he said, and the rest of them, the ship got in a wreck. The ship was tore up. And look what it says. It's verse 44. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship, so that it come to pass. But they all escaped to land. Once you're saved, by the grace of God, you are going to the other shore. Amen. Now, your piece might be a little bit bigger than my piece. I don't know how big your piece might be, but it said they make it home on broken pieces. Is that right? Watch this real close. I'm close with this. I heard years ago, it was about 1919, down in South Florida, a bunch of blacks got together and they said, we're going to start a freedom train up north, and we're going to take the people and we're going to let them get on the freedom train to ride up north to the northern states where we can work and we don't have to be up under persecution. And so when they got ready to go, they told their boy, they had a little boy about 5 years old. He said, son, we're going to ride the freedom train. We're going up north. And when we go up there, after we get settled on a job, after we get some money coming in, we're going to send for you. We're going to send you a ticket. That mom and daddy went up north. The years passed by. I mean, that boy was awaiting every day. He'd check that mailbox looking for his ticket to be able to come up north. There wasn't no more freedom train. You had to ride the regular train then. The freedom trains was gone. Years passed by. That boy at this time, he was about 16 years old. One day he went out there to that mailbox and there was an envelope in there from his parents. Son, inside this envelope, you'll find the tickets to get you home. That little boy, he got on that plane. I mean, he got on that train outside of Jacksonville, Florida. He got on that train there and that thing started north. By the time that thing got to Atlanta, Georgia, the conductor come back there and said, son, give me a piece of your ticket. He took that ticket and tore it out of his book that he had. He left from Atlanta, Georgia. They got into Chattanooga, Tennessee. That conductor come back there and said, son, let me see your tickets. And he tore a little bit of it off. They left out of Chattanooga and they started coming up to the state of Virginia. And they got up around Roanoke, Virginia, and they come back there and the conductor said, son, let me see your ticket. And he kept tearing that ticket. Every time that train had stopped, they come tearing that ticket. All of a sudden, buddy, right before they got to where that he was going to be at, or somewhere up in Massachusetts, I don't know where it's at, but it's in the state of Massachusetts, the conductor come back there. He had one more ticket on the stub there. He said, let me see your ticket. He reached and tore that ticket off. He looked at that conductor. He says, conductor, I need to ask you a question. Will there be enough ticket to get me home? Is that right? I want to give you something here. I want to show you something real close. You see, anytime they lie on you, anytime they tell things on you, what they're doing, they're tearing off a piece of your ticket. Is that right? But I want to show you what the last ticket says. The last ticket says, this ticket is paid for by Jesus Christ on Mount Calvary, and it'll get you all the way home. Oh, glory to God! Signed by the blood of Christ. Sometimes we're beat, we're battered, we're being tore up, but I want you to know that Jesus Christ is going to see that you're going to make it safe on yonder shore. Is that right?
That's right.
And so I hope that you got a little bit tonight. When you're in a storm, that's how God makes heroes in the storm. Let's bow our heads, would please. Let's bow our heads. Let's bow our heads. There was a preacher coming to me the other day. I was going to be the fourth preacher to preach. And he slipped this thing in my hand. Here's what it said. Preach a sermon, preacher. Make it clear and plain. But don't you go so far as to call sin by its name. Preach a sermon, preacher, but make it short and sweet. Our stomachs strike at 12 o'clock, for we're hungering to eat. Preach a sermon, preacher. We care not what you say. Just as long as you don't look us, please point some other way. Preacher, preach a sermon. Make it what we love to hear. We'll pat you on your spineless back while you scratch our itching ear. God help a preacher that would get to the place. God help a preacher that he would get to the place that he had compromised with the gospel. You'd be better off dead out there in a grave somewhere. Better off dead. Our forefathers, the men that took this Baptist name, and I'm so sick and tired going all over this country. They took the name Baptist down, or they got half charismatic and all that bunch of junk, all that old stuff, and all that old music, that old contemporary junk, and all that stuff hatched out of hell to try to deceive the people to get away from the things of God. You here tonight, you say, Brother Johnny, as I sit here tonight, I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that I'm on the ship of Zion. I know that Jesus is my captain. I know that he's my captain. And Paul's message was, stay with the ship. Your church this week is a type of the ship. You've gone through some storms. Paul said, stay with the ship. He's trying to tell you there's some sharks out there. There's some people, religious sharks, out there that would like to pull you down and to try to pull you out of the old ship of Zion. And my last message here to you tonight is stay with the ship. Don't be jumping ship. Stay with the ship. You say, Brother John, as I sit here tonight, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm saved. I know that I'm born again. Brother Johnny, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt if I should die on the way home tonight, have a massive heart attack or a stroke, have an aneurysm or a car hit me or drive-by shooting. Brother Johnny, I'm as sure for heaven as I'd have been there 10,000 years. That old account was settled long ago. Brother Johnny, I know that I'm born again. I'd like every child of God, will you signify by an uplifted hand, say, Brother Johnny, I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm saved. Boy, isn't that good? Isn't that good? Boy, that is good. Glory to God. All right, you can put them down now. You say, Brother Johnny, I couldn't raise my hand. Brother Johnny, I couldn't raise my hand. And Brother Johnny, last night a revival meeting, Brother Johnny, I want to be sure tonight. I want to be sure tonight that I'm heaven bound with a hammer down. I want to know beyond a shadow of a doubt, Brother Johnny, that I've trusted Christ and he lives in my heart. My sins are under the blood and I'm his child. Brother Johnny, pray for me as you go back to Tennessee. Is there one? You're concerned about your soul's destination where you might spend eternity. Is there one? Pray for me, Brother Johnny. I'm not sure that I'm saved. A lot of time, Brother Johnny, I go home at church and I lay my head on my pillow at night. One man told me the other day that was all mixed up in this stuff of losing salvation. He said, Brother Johnny, I like to lose my mind. He said, every day I'd say, God save me if I'm not saved. I'd go to bed at night and say, God save me if I'm not saved. He said, sometimes I'd wake up in the morning and I'd forget if I was saved or lost. That's what he'd say. He'd say, I don't know if I got saved the night before. Can I tell you something? If you're really saved by the grace of God, you can have the sweetest peace you've ever had in your life. Though hell be raging, storms all around you, God will give you peace during the storm. Are you still excited about it? You still excited? That's what David said. I'm still excited. I've been through some storms, but I'm still excited. All right, what about you here tonight? You're saved. You're born again, but you're just about ready to jump ship. You're just about ready to get out there with the sharks. Paul said you won't be saved except you abide in the ship. Not talking about your salvation, but talking about your life. You say, Brother Johnny, pray for me. I'm saved, I'm a child of God. But Brother Johnny, I've drifted away. I've been thinking about getting out of the ship myself. I've been getting to the place I've been missing services. I'm beginning to use language that I never did. I've got the place I've even pulled an old television right in my living room. I piped hell right into my living room there. Brother Johnny, pray for me. Is there one? Pray for me. Pray for me, Brother Johnny. I'm not right in the center of God's will. Pray for me. Pray for me, Brother Johnny. My Lord, everybody's right with the Lord. Boy, this is good. My Lord, this is great. You say, Brother Johnny, I want the song leader to come. You got our song ready just as I am. The piano player's going to play. We're all going to stand. Why don't you come? Why don't you come? Anything we can help you with? Last night of revival. Boy, what a great night to get all business settled, please.
Amen.
Great night. What about it tonight? Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. I appreciate it. What about it? What about it? What about you young folks here tonight? How long has it been since you've been on the altar? You want to see mama? You want to see daddy? How long has it been since you've been? What about you? God bless you. Will there be another? What about you, Dad?
Just
how long has it been since you prayed for your baby? How long has it been since they've seen you with tears over their children? Mama, what about you? These your babies. God let you have them. Have you put a hedge around them? Have you put a hedge around your family? What about it, men? What about it, ladies?
Of God,
what about it?
I come.
Stay with the old ship. Don't get out. Come. Don't jump ship. You'll die out there.
Just as
what about
it? I am the toss about with many.
What about it?
A come.
Somebody else. Last
with
night of me.
Many
last night of me. I feel like the Apostle Paul. Might not never see my face again no more. One thing about it, I tried to tell the truth when I was here. I tried to do everything
God,
I knew to tell the truth.
I come.
Thank you so much, bro. Thank you so much. I want to tell you one more time, I thank you for letting me be here with you fine folks this week. I ask you to continue to pray for us. I'm going to be in Massachusetts tomorrow and Sunday, and then I'll be leaving on for North Carolina. I'll take Brother Larry back to Maryland, where he lives at, and then I'm going to Massachusetts and then down to Florida and over to Baton Rouge. But I want you to ask you to pray for me. If God takes your sleep during the night, any night you wake up and you can't sleep and you need somebody to pray for, amen. Pray for me. Amen. I might be in a rest area somewhere. I might be in a motel somewhere. But you can rest assured, I'll be telling the same old story down south as we tell up north, that men are sinners and we got a Savior that loves them. Is that right? So I covet your prayers. Please pray for us. Amen. Pastor, I turn it over to you.
Boy, we're so glad that Johnny was here. Wasn't that awesome tonight? Well, before we close in prayer, we have some things for Johnny and Larry. They came a long ways for us, and they're going further north.
Amen.
He said it was cold here. He's going where the ice cubes are. But we have some things for him, and you want to present them to him?
Thank you so much, sister.
Water, so we got her watering.
Well, we appreciate that. God bless you. That's so kind. We do. Thank you so much. We do appreciate that. God bless you. You ain't getting this.
Thank you.
That's good.
I don't know. They wrote on whatever. And that's your card. And then you were a light.
Yes.
So we got this for your wife.
Give it to me. I'll take it.
That's right.
Guarantee I'll pour water on him tonight. I'll let him go. Thank you so much. That's so kind of y'all. We do appreciate that. Yes, we really do. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. We do appreciate it.
This was our first evangelist coming to our church.
Amen.
And we brought him in with a meal, and we want to let him leave in a blaze of glory. So we loved him. We had a good time. I stayed with him all week, and last night he kept me up. This morning he kept me up to 4. God bless you, Boston. I hope you caught up on your sleep. But it was worth it, Johnny. It was
thank
great.
You.
And thank you for coming.
Thanks,
and we're going to always pray for you.
Thank you,
our first evangelist. And by the way, because of his strength and his teaching me this week, next week we will have 2 missionaries on our board.
Yes.
2 of them.
That's right. Amen,
okay?
Yes.
The
try.
First 2 are coming on
right.
Next week.
That's right. Amen.
And he's giving me a 3rd one he's going to call. And,
yes.
And I trust this man with
yes.
all my heart. And
thank
I know
you.
He's led us the right way. So thank you, Brother Johnny.
Thank you, Brother.
Let's
appreciate
bow our head in prayer, please.
Yes.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this night. We thank you, Lord, for this week.
Yes.
We thank you for Brother Larry, Brother Johnny coming down. Taking their time out of their lives to come and help us, Father God, to get this church on the road, on the right road, to get our ship in order,
yes.
and that we can float above the water, Lord, and not be sinking.
Yes.
I thank you, Lord, for that, Lord. I pray that every one of us that had difficulties this week, that they were taken care of, Father God, through this revival. Father, you are an awesome God. You don't want us to carry those burdens. Our bodies were not designed for those burdens, Father God. Our bodies are frail, Father, and we're not designed. So thank you for taking them away from us, Lord. And thank you for giving us new strength and new hope that we lost, Father God, and we're found again. Lord God, may Jesus Christ richly bless everyone in this meeting tonight. In the name of Jesus, we pray and give thanks. As we all go our way, may we stay in the ship and stay tight. In the name of Jesus. And Father, for the refreshments in the back room and the coffee, may it bless our bodies. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.